Blog Talk Radio. Cynthia Johnson, and of course, I'm here with
Dr. Reggie Johnson.
We're your hosts this morning, this glorious, glorious morning. And we are, of course, in the study of the law of attraction, but in particular, we are now focusing on Christ consciousness and linking that back to the law of attraction. Because we want to make you very, 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 very aware of who you really are. So we are focusing on this because it empowers us to know who we are, and then it takes us to the master level of working the law of attraction. So, Dr. Reggie, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Great.
Okay.
Why? Why are you laughing?
Because you're doing great.
Oh.
Alrighty.
What did she take this morning? You getting your coffee and that's good?
I did.
I'm taking my joy juice.
I know you tell. Oh my God.
Let me take a sip of coffee.
Okay, that makes you feel better. You always feel good anyway.
Yeah. Why don't you take us into our opening prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day. Being alive and feeling so free and wonderful on a brand new day we've never seen before, and listening to birds and seeing the sky and feeling the wind and the rain and all the elements come together. And thank you that we can feel and touch everything, and that we are in alignment with all that is. We thank you that you are the supreme energy in the universe and that you thought about us as an idea in your mind and consciousness. And here we are. And there's nothing greater than being conscious and alive and loving and eternal. We thank you for the energy of this morning's message, and that the Holy Spirit will endow this message and bless everyone listening with a powerful blessing. I believe it is so. And so it is.
And so it is. You know, I really have to tell you how grateful I am that you get up in the morning with me and join me here on Circles of Prosperity, and that you give me the space to teach when I know that you're more than capable of teaching this.
But,
I do appreciate that. And that you just bless us every morning with the opening and closing prayer. So I honor you and I thank you. Okay, can you guys hear me this morning? We're trying to get back on track. And so if someone can just press 1 on their telephone keypad to let me know that you can hear me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. Okay, so yesterday we had a good time, didn't we? Oh, my goodness. And today I promised you that we were going to move into some interesting things. We were going to talk about sin, and we're going to talk about unconditional love. And we're going to talk about the concept of the top dog and the underdog and the meaning of the crucifixion, another way to look at the crucifixion of Jesus. So let's get started this morning. This lesson is being taken from Soul Psychology, How to Clear Negative Emotions and Spiritualize Your Life. It's written by Joshua David Stone, and he has transitioned now, but he has a beautiful body of work that he left behind to help us on our spiritual path. He says that that the outcome is inevitable. What we have established, in case you are just joining us, we have established that God created us in his likeness and his image, and that we have that divine energy in us. You know, we have God DNA in us. And to really put it bluntly and hold on to your seats now, because a lot of you are uncomfortable declaring this, but he says that we are God. When we to move into the consciousness of where Jesus was, where Jesus could say, I and my Father are one, we have to move first to the realization that God is within us, not outside of us. And then the next level of our understanding is to accept the fact that we are God, how powerful we are. And that's a gift from the Creator to give us that, to empower us on that level. And so our focus in this particular lesson is about living in the awareness of the Christ, which is living in our higher self, living and thinking and feeling from the higher self rather than from the ego self. Okay? So the negative emotions and things that we are feeling are coming to us from the ego, and we're spiritualizing the ego. And so this chapter that I'm sharing with you today is all about how to move into the consciousness of your higher self, which can be called the Christ consciousness, okay? So we left off yesterday. The very last thing he says to us, he's reminding us that every ascended master, even Jesus, had to go through these steps of killing the ego to move into the Christ consciousness. He said Jesus made this point when he said, everything I can do, you can do and more. Our identity is exactly the same. The only difference is that the masters are doing a little better than we are at demonstrating it. So never give up. For as the great Paramahansa Yogananda said, a saint is a sinner that never gave up. So the ascended masters, they had to work through exactly the same challenges and lessons that we are struggling with right now. So here's the bottom line. The outcome is inevitable. What does that mean? The outcome is inevitable. Well, it means that it is inevitable that all of God's sons and daughters, of which we are, all of us will eventually return home. Well, where is home? Home is with the source. Home is with God. Can God and the Christ lose against illusion and Maya? If you ever get discouraged, you should ask yourself this. Can God and Christ lose this battle? And, you know, I took that statement and I started applying it when I feel a little challenged in life. First, I acknowledge, okay, God is in me. I am an empowered being. And then I say, can God and Christ actually lose? These are the highest energy forces on our planet. Can they lose? And so it helps us to move into the awareness that we can always be victorious, right? So never forget that the negative ego doesn't really exist. All those bad feelings and thoughts that you have about you, they're not even real. So the minute that you start thinking you are a failure, or that you are inferior to others, and we're gonna talk about that. The minute that you begin to have any of these self doubts about who you are, recognize that that is not real. Oh, Cynthia, you know, you are a failure. You're too old. That's not real. I know who I am. That's not real. Talk to yourself. You're talking to yourself, telling you all those negative things. Why can't you talk to yourself to tell yourself positive, loving things, right? It is even ridiculous to get angry at it, for in reality, it is not there. So you're wasting your energy. It is nothing more than a bad dream, which you can wake up from any time that you like. Just remember, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. And herein lies the peace of God. Oh, my God. Write those words down. Write them down. That's something you should have on a little card that you read all the time. Dr. Rich, remind me to make some cards like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make up some cards. Yes. So the outcome for all souls in this journey is inevitably to return to the Godhead. And when is just a matter of time. When we return, even Hitler will eventually return home. He will have to balance his karma, but he will return home. And so the purpose of this book is to help shorten the time it takes to return home. Now, I'm getting ready to share something with you that you have heard several times here on Circles of Prosperity, but I want you to hear it again with new ears. We are living in a period of history where what formerly took 14 years can be done in 14 months. It's never in the history of this planet has there been a greater opportunity for spiritual growth. And we have had so many teachers to come here and tell us that. Michelle White Dove told us. Rasha, who wrote Oneness, said the exact same thing. This is an unprecedented time for you to have huge growth in your spiritual life. So the key really is to commit yourself 100% of your spiritual path with all of your personal power and all of your concentration. That's why I'm encouraging you to practice the principles that we are teaching, because we can all become ascended masters. This is a powerful, powerful time. Okay, so the transformation that will take place is going to amaze you. How many of you can see your growth right now and how phenomenal it has been? I talk to Jean all the time, and Jean has just grown so tremendously. A lot of times she wants to jump out of her skin. You can hear the energy. It's like she can barely keep her spirit in the physical body. She's so heightened by the experience. And I totally, totally understand that. And we all are continuing to grow and grow and grow. We never stop learning. My point here is, why do we need to wait for the future or wait for another lifetime? Because we can move in this space right now. So let's talk about sin a little bit. There is no such thing as sin. Anybody have a problem with that? There's no such thing as sin. Oh, my goodness. I have a dear friend, that I had to sit and listen to an explanation about sin and that and how we are filled with sin and we're, oh my goodness, everything in me just says, Cynthia, please. Oh my gosh, I had to keep my hold my tongue, and it was really a practice for me to just say, to be in a place of forgiveness and love, to hear all of that. It was like cursing to me. But there is no such thing as sin. Yes, we do make mistakes. But there's no such thing as sin because, see, the true definition of sin is really that you're missing the mark. And if we make a mistake, there are a lot of benefits to making a mistake. Number one is that we can learn a lesson from a mistake. We definitely know if we put our hand in fire that it burns, and so we won't do that again, right? Now, we shouldn't really go out of our way to make mistakes, but when they happen, we need to learn from them. And when we make a mistake, we can stop and we can gain the golden nugget of wisdom. We learn the lesson. We forgive ourselves. We forgive ourselves, and then we move forward. See, a lot of times we do something and, you know, we make a mistake and we just beat ourselves up. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I really shouldn't have done that. Oh, I'm a horrible, horrible person. Remember what I told you. Those negative thoughts are not real. No, you're not a horrible person. You made a mistake. Love yourself. Say, you know what? That was a good lesson. I won't do that again. And move on. Now, there are some religions that look at sin as a stain on our character or an attribute of some kind of original sin to us. And this is ludicrous. We have no sin. For each of us is the Christ, the eternal self. So, A Course in Miracles tells us this: forgiveness is the key to happiness. God has already forgiven everything. It is we who need to learn to forgive ourselves and our brothers and sisters. And it is important to remember that no one has ever done anything to us. We have allowed it to be done to us. And if it happened, we attracted it or needed it for our soul growth. Oneness tells us that, you know, we'll continue to attract dramas in our life until we learn the lesson, and then we move to a higher vibration, and then we won't attract that drama again. How many of you have had a problem and you didn't really address it, and maybe you ran from it, you moved to another city or whatever, you think you're getting away from the people that are causing the problem, you keep looking at it as though it's outside of you, and then you've created a whole new life for yourself, and the same problem rears its ugly head again? How many of you have gone through that? Because you didn't really deal with it the first time. You didn't learn from the mistake the first time. So it presents itself to you again. The situation presents itself to you again so that you can learn that lesson, right? God will, and this is what, I love this statement, that God has already forgiven you. You know, and forgive me, okay, because I have very little patience going to church. I mean, I went because my mother and father made me go, but a lot of times I sat there totally confused because they would say one thing and then beat you up on another thing, and none of it made sense, and I'm a very logical thinking person. So here it is. I remember hearing the principle that God forgives you for everything. So if God forgives me for everything, why are you telling me that I'm a sinner? He's forgiven me for it already. Am I the only one that felt that confusion? I don't know. Okay. So what I'm getting from Joshua Stone is a new foundation of who we are. And it's without all the confusion. Okay? We are empowered beings. We are children of God. We have God DNA. Therefore, we are God. You have a baby, and it's a girl or it's a boy, but it's a human being, right? You don't say, oh, I had a dog or I had a cat. No, you have a human being, that which you are. And if God is our creator, then he's not saying, oh, this is a dog. This is my creation. This is my son, my daughter. Therefore, I have to be that which I came from, which is God. All righty. So here we are, these powerful, powerful beings where God that are the inheritors of the energy of God, and we're moving into our Christ consciousness, and they tell us that God is love. So what does that mean for us? That our natural state of being is love. Our natural state of being is love. Are you keeping up with me this morning? Are you following my logic here? I'm giving you a new understanding of who you are. So God would always have us practice unconditional love. And the rationale for this is that each person in reality is the Christ, even if their thoughts and their feelings and their behavior are not demonstrating that. And Jesus tells us to love your enemies. And this is one of the true tests and initiations in the spiritual path. It is our lesson to be bigger, to practice innocent perception, to practice forgiveness. For what we give is what we get back. If we want God, we must give God. Otherwise, we won't realize him. So everyone is God. Everyone. Now, not everyone realizes God in their thoughts, in their feelings, in their actions. But here's the thing. Earth is a school. It's where we come to practice realizing God in our daily life. So much of the spiritual path is based on the small things, like how we treat our neighbor when we walk outside to start our day. So conditional love means that another person has to meet some requirement to deserve our love. And ego tells us that we are hurting that person and helping ourselves by doing this. But in reality, we are hurting both the other person and ourselves. So one of the basic principles of the Course in Miracles is to give up our attack thoughts. We are either loving or we are attacking. There are no neutral thoughts. They're either positive or they're negative, right? So when we are demonstrating conditional love, we are unconsciously attacking. And the other person experiences that attack on an energetic level. And it is like an arrow that's piercing his aura. If he is weak or he's in a victim consciousness, this can affect him quite adversely. And we must remember that all minds are joined. Our thoughts are not contained in our physical bodies as though behind a fence. In reality, it is quite the opposite. The second that we think about another person, whether it is positive or in a negative way, that thought or that feeling hits his energy field. Now, you know, as I'm sharing this with you, what really popped up in my head are these young people communicating on Facebook, okay? They don't even need Facebook. They're not in that reality yet. But how they attack people, each other, and some are under such heavy-duty attack, and it's so public, and they are not strong in their spirit. You know, they're not aware of how powerful they are, that they kill themselves, they commit suicide. We frame it as bullying, right? And bullying is just a large number of negative thoughts focused at one person. Do you see now why it's so important to talk to these young children and to teach them the power that they have? There's a whole different conversation we need to have with young people in terms of the rules of the game. Conditional love also separates us from God. We are not separated in reality, no. But we are only separated within our own state of consciousness. So always remember that in every situation in life, there is an appropriate response and an inappropriate response. And how we respond will determine if we realize God or do not realize God in that very moment. So if we make a mistake, we can stop, gain the golden nugget of wisdom, and learn the lesson and forgive ourselves and choose one again. But the point is that we want to stay vigilant and focused and so that we can develop the habit of being unconditionally loving in every situation of life, that we can ask ourselves, do I want God or my ego in this situation? If we sincerely ask ourselves this, who would really actually choose the ego? Practice makes perfect, does it not? Let's talk about the top dog and the underdog. We're talking about equality here. The negative ego tells us that we are superior to everyone else, or it tells us that we are inferior to everyone else, or it's so confused, it'll tell us both at the same time. And this is truly a hellish state of mind to exist in. And it is amazing how many people are unconsciously trapped in the negative ego's game. So Spirit says that we all are equals, because we all are the Christ. People may be at different levels of demonstrating this truth. However, that capital I in you is the same as that capital I that's in me. I love it because Gary Zukav says, a spiritual partnership, when we're talking about relationships, a spiritual partnership recognizes that you are equals. That divine essence in you that we call God, it is the same in you and it is the same in me. It makes us equals. So whenever we begin to compare ourselves to another person, that negative ego is gripping us. You know, we never want to make the comparison to other people. I know you've heard this before. My mama used to tell me this all the time. Don't ever compare yourself to someone else. Why? Because you're either going to be better than they are or less than they are. And that's whatever your ego is going to tell you. We only want to compare ourselves to ourselves. And that's going to make you feel pretty good. Do you remember when you didn't know how to do something and then you learned how to do something? Compare your growth. compare your spiritual growth. Do you remember when you were in fear all the time, and now you may have fear just a little bit, and you get to knock it right out the ballpark and say you can't have take up residence here. I know who I am. I'm raising my hand. I'm so grateful I'm out of fear. That's not to say that it doesn't trickle in every now and then, but it can only visit me for seconds before I gain my courage and move forward. How many of you can visit with fear just for seconds? How many of you visit with fear, don't even visit with fear anymore? Yep, I'm telling you, that will set you free. If we look at the progress that we have made within ourselves only and not against others, it is so easy for us to feel good. So whenever there's this top dog and the underdog dynamic comes up into your mind, then you know what you need to do? You just need to laugh it off the stage. Oh, you silly ego. You have no power here. So he moves on to talk about the crucifixion. And he says that in the text of A Course in Miracles, Jesus gives a fascinating account of the true meaning of the crucifixion. And what he says is that the crucifixion was nothing more than an extreme lesson of love and forgiveness. He was not dying for our sins, because we don't have any sins. What he was demonstrating was that even in the most extreme lessons, in which a person is being beaten, they're being tortured, they're being crucified, and even killed, that it is possible to remain loving and forgiving. And Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He went through this most extreme challenge to prove to us that forgiveness is possible, even under the most extreme circumstances. So if Jesus the Christ could do it under those circumstances, then certainly we can forgive our mother-in-law, or our boss, or our parents and friends, or even a business partner. Forgive them. And you know something? Forgive you. Forgiveness is your peace. Forgiveness is your peace. So, I thought that that was extremely powerful. A lot of times as I'm sharing things with you, I get pictures that flash in my head. And one of the pictures that flashed in my head is from the 60s during the Civil Rights Movement. And I can see these young people standing against it's a black and white film footage. And they're standing in a business district against the wall, and there are big, huge plates of glass because these are like storefronts. And I see the dogs yipping at them, the policemen walking in front of them, and the dogs barking. And I can see the water hoses from the fire truck just spraying them. And it's so forceful, that water is knocking them down. And there's no anger coming from these people, even though they're being taunted. They remained in a state of nonviolence. They stood their ground. And I have to think that at some point that they were holding in their hearts, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." I believe that the strength of that civil rights movement was based in love. Not fear, but love. I don't think we would have made that significant accomplishment with anger and resentment. It had to come from love. Love finder or fault finder. Spirit would have us see the positive, the good, and the innocent in people. Negative ego as guide and teacher has us seek and see the bad. The ego does this to put other persons down in order to make itself feel good. The spirit's philosophy is a win-win philosophy, not a win-lose philosophy. Why can't we all win? Isn't it better? Isn't that a better way to live? Isn't that a much better way to live? We will see what we look for. We will see where we put our attention. What is that? Law of attraction, is it not? Where your attention and your focus goes, that's what you're going to manifest. When we see fault and judgment, we are in reality faulting and judging ourselves. For what we see in another is just a mirror of our own state of mind. When we see only God, when we see only love, and when we are speaking only blessings, that is what we're giving to ourselves. You know, they've even done this study scientifically where they say when we're giving, the mind, that the brain perceives the act of giving as though it is receiving. They now scientifically know that the act of giving is just as though we are receiving it. That's how the brain perceives it, that is happening to them or to you as the giver. So you're the giver and the receiver. Now, wouldn't you rather be giving good stuff than bad stuff if you're going to receive it? So whatever we see, whether we see it or not, that is what is there, for that is what God created. So if we have a faulty perception, it doesn't create truth. It just creates the reality that we live in. And we can see the glory of what God would have us see. If we see fault, then we are creating separation from ourselves, from God, and from our brothers and sisters. And Spirit would guide us to remain in the state of oneness at all times, for all is God. So in the New Testament, Jesus said, "Judge not, that you not be judged. He that has no sin, cast the first stone." Don't try to take the speck out of your brother's eye when you have a big log in your own. The log that Jesus speaks of is the log of the ego and the lower self, which so many of us are afflicted with. So all forms of perception, according to the Course in Miracles, it's like a dream. God would guide us, however, to live and experience the happy dream of the Christ consciousness, which is a perfect mirror of the state that Jesus calls knowledge. And by living the Christ dream or perception, Jesus says, a translation into pure knowledge will inevitably take place. In other words, we move into living truth. All these negative things that our ego is telling us is just a dream. It's not even real. It's covering up the truth of who we really are. Wow. You know, I really, a lot of times I just like to stop and breathe and really just marinate in the vibration of these words. It's so powerful. You just can't keep going on talking, blah, 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 blah. Because we are so steeped in illusion of who we are. And I'm trying to chisel that away so that you can really sense the power of you. Mm. Well, I'm going to take you one more step. And tomorrow is Oracle Friday. And I know that we're not going to get through this chapter. We're going to go ahead and continue this through next week. It's an extensive chapter. So I'm encouraging you to pick up the book, because now that I'm in it, I really don't want to leave it. And I hope that you really don't want to leave this series either. So the book is Soul Psychology by Joshua David Stone. I'll send out an email and a link so that you guys can get this book, okay? He talks about teachings and lessons versus difficulties and problems. Now, it is important to realize that everything that happens in life is a teaching or a lesson or a challenge and an opportunity for us to grow. Edgar Cayce referred to this when he said that everything that happens is a stepping stone for your soul growth. Paul Solomon, he was a spiritual leader who channeled the universal mind, said that the proper attitude toward everything that happens in life is, "Not my will, but thine." Thank you for this lesson. I love that. That's sweet. Not my will, but thine. And thank you for this lesson. Everything that happens in life is a gift. Everything that comes to us in our own personal karma is something that we have set in motion either in this lifetime or in a past lifetime. And our lesson is to welcome it, to own our personal power, and then to deal with it appropriately. So many spiritual practices teach atonement. And atonement, note the word that contains within it the word one. I love it because in the Course in Miracles, they'll say at one meant. Okay? It's the process of undergoing the ego and or undoing the ego and then returning it to the oneness of spirit. So the Holy Spirit and or the soul serves as our guide along with the ascended masters. We have an opportunity with every challenge to heal or, you know, to undo, to unravel the ego and to put it in its proper place. Put it in its proper pace so that we can become one with that, the only energy that really is within us, and that is God. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer.
Keep us centered and keep us in love with the universe. With your power. Let us love others as we love ourselves, and to always remain spiritual in mind and in life, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe it is so, and so it is.